Readings and homily for August 28th.
A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you may be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you? Seek not. Into things beyond your strength? Search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness, and storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went out to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are two types of people in this world. There are the proud who think that they are humble, and the humble that know that they are proud. When it comes to pride, C.S. Lewis says it best in Mere Christianity: "There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we have of it ourselves, the more we dislike it in others." Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next person. People may be proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but really they are proud of being more rich, more clever, and better looking. Take away the element of competition, and pride goes away. Pride is competitive, and our pride is constantly in competition with other people's pride. How many ways is pride celebrated socially in society and media? We all want to be special, different, and unique. But the reality is that we are already special, different, and unique. And yet our identity does not come from who we are or what we have, but whose we are. Our most important identity is as children of God. The parable in the gospel today gives us a concrete example of how pride affects all of us. Place yourself in that scene at the banquet. Which guest would you be? The one who seeks the highest esteemed place or the lowest? God is happy to oblige those who seek to know how proud they are. Just ask. And it hurts, by the way. So how does humility manifest itself in the life of a Christian? How does one grow in humility? Well, to begin with, we have to realize that growth in any virtue is a gift that God desires to give. And the converse is also true, that God desires to help us get rid of vice. Measuring, comparing, judging, all those come very easy to us. And as humans, we have the tendency to want to sit in the judgment seat. Often we make judgments, rash judgments, with few details, and many times we draw incorrect conclusions because our pride clouds our judgment. People are created good. My brothers and sisters, don't forget that. We all might have an inclination to sin, but we're still good. There are always bad apples, but as a whole, God saw fit to create each of us. And many just don't realize that they were created for good. By learning to understand the why that precedes the what that people do, we can begin to see people not from a superior position, but instead we can see their hurts, their struggles, and find their humanity and their dignity. Not jumping to a rash judgment is countercultural to what we see today. But for one thing, for sure, is that no one will ever regret an unspoken word. We have all heard the quote, "Hate the sin, but not the sinner." For a long time, I used to think that was such an odd distinction. But in reality, there's one person to whom I have hated the things that he does, yet I continue to love him anyways, and that's me. Why is it so easy for me to accept my faults and not so easy to accept others? How well can I love others and image the love of God when I cannot love them as well as I love myself? We do not have to love what people do in order to love them. God has shown us that. He loves us despite our failings. In the latter part of the gospel today, Jesus shows us that humility and service go hand in hand. Who is it that Jesus suggests inviting to the banquet? Not friends, not family, not the wealthy, but rather the poor, the crippled, and the destitute. Not the ones who could pay him back, but instead the ones who couldn't and wouldn't. This is the key to God's heart and grace. And in essence, we are the poor and the destitute. We don't have the means to pay God back for everything he has given us. And yet he loves us anyways and still gives us everything. And we are called to do the same. Do you know what it means to be poor in spirit? Like it says in the Beatitudes. Simply put, to be poor in spirit means to receive freely, and to give freely, not to be attached to anything, to be willing to give away freely what has been given to us. And everything is a gift from God. Every gift, every talent, every possession. We didn't earn it, and we honestly don't deserve it. But God doesn't give to us in order for us to keep it. He calls us to use the gifts he gives us in service to others. When we lose ourselves in service to another, not expecting anything in return, we can rest in the promise that we will attain heaven. So how can we as families and as Christians do this? Well, if Jesus was in Blue Springs today walking down the highway, where do you think you would find him? Where would he go? And who would he seek out? Jesus gives us the example to follow him all throughout the Gospels. God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to stay that way. So finding the places where he would go is the places that we should be finding ourselves. By cultivating an openness and friendship to peoples of diverse socioeconomic, ethnic, racial, sexual orientation, we will do the very work that God calls us to. All people are created in the image and likeness of God, not some, all. When we judge or classify others by the way they look, dress, and act, we miss seeing the dignity that they have in the eyes of our Creator. And that's how God wants us to see others. Satan only wants to separate the dignity of the human from the person. If he can make us identify and recognize only our differences, and then we celebrate those differences, he has succeeded in removing the very essence of what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. And in the end, no one will matter. We find it difficult to find anyone who we completely agree with these days, and it takes a real effort to fight against that. Nobody likes being in front of a judge. But true conversion and repentance comes when we love the sinner first, as Christ first loved us. After all, we really didn't change for the better until Christ entered into our lives. Are we helping to bring Christ to enter others' lives? And how much more effective can we be at spreading the good news when it begins with sharing first the love of God?
Please stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father and Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.
I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried,
and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, and life for the world to come.
Amen.
In our prayers of intercession, we come in humility before God himself in the company of the saints. And we plead through Jesus, the mediator, who brings a new covenant.
That our bishops, priests, deacons, and ministers may imitate the humility of Christ, the servant of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That nations and peoples of the world may cooperate in peace and trust to establish the city of the living God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That in the ministries of our church and parish community, we may seek to extend the love of God without limitations, conditions, or expectations, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the poor, the abused, the lost, and the forgotten may find places of honor and welcome at our tables and altars, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the sick, the suffering, the recovering, and the dying may be reassured of the great love of God in the compassionate care and humble service of others, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all students and teachers who are beginning a new school year, that God will remove all anxieties and fear and grant them true peace and joy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of our faithful departed, and especially for the repose of the soul of Alma Spuddy Coleman, for whom this Mass is offered, may they all be welcomed by God to the banquet of heaven. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, defender of the poor and the humble, we come before you with our intentions, and we give them to you in our humbleness, with our great care, with our great trust in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.